We are experiencing something here in a lot of the lives of people, where people's lives are getting... some of you maybe have gotten touched by the Lord and you're still waiting for the fruit to start to well up within you. Just continue to have faith and believe. But JC has been radically changed and transformed these past couple of months. And I've asked him, I've asked him to come share what the Lord's been doing in your life. So JC, come on up.
Thank you. My wife has a favorite movie quote, and she says it all the time, and it's very apropos today. It goes like this. Let me explain. No, there is too much. Let me sum up. For those of you that have known me for an extended period of time, you know that I have been a very, very angry person. Anger to the point of violence. Which, for those of you that are keeping score, is not good. It's not Jesus. It's just bad. For those of you that don't know me very well, I did a pretty good job of hiding it under humor. So, a couple while back, we went to Men's Encounter. And Men's Encounter, if you're interested, here's your encouragement. It's a beating. It's just one speaker after the other coming up and just landing haymaker after haymaker. I remember looking at Nate and going, when's the session where we get to play with puppies? Because, dang. Long story short, through the course of that, I took my past and I nailed it to the cross. And I was changed.
Yep.
Immediately. I remember looking at Nate and going, I don't know how I'm going to respond to stuff tomorrow. Because I am different. Like, I really don't know what to expect tomorrow. And what happened was, my anger was gone. My hate, gone. And I wasn't sure what that looked like. My family would be better at telling you what that looks like than I am. But my boys aren't afraid of me anymore. And I think they probably used to be afraid of me. My wife doesn't have to walk around eggshells. And they all had to walk around eggshells. Because it was tap dancing on a landmine. It was a little bit iffy. And the people on the praise team, they've seen a change. Because out of everybody at the church here, they're the ones who got to see the level of anger that I had underneath the surface. But I mean, it was millimeters underneath the surface, and it's just gone. And just because God wanted to drive the point home, I went to a concert, and I ran into someone from my past who would have an immediate negative response from me. And I had no anger to give them. I sat there and I talked with them for about 3-4 minutes. And at the end, I touched them on the shoulder and I said, I want only good things for you. And I meant it. And I was stunned. So there's pros and there's cons. The pros are, I'm a new creation.
Amen.
The cons are, I used to be able to sing.
I used to be able to preach. Now right. I just cry.
Now I just stand up here and babble incoherently.
We just cry.
It's like, there's a melody line in there somewhere. Just go with it. So with all that being said, I have 3 declarations to make. Firstly, to you, my church family, I will no longer keep you at arm's length. Amen. I will love you. And I will be there for you.
Amen.
To my boys, I used to say things like, there is a standard and we meet or exceed the standard. I held you to difficult expectations. Our mantra is going to change a little bit. Now the mantra is, keep your eyes on Christ and stand. And as long as I have breath, you will never stand alone.
Amen.
And lastly, to my wife, who deserves a medal. Guys, it was so bad. My hate and anger was so bad that police took me to a psych ward. It was bad. And she stood by me.
Praise God.
And then I had a heart attack because I lived my life with middle fingers extended, coiled like a snake. And she stood by me. So, to my wife, as long as I'm alive, all of my effort and energy will go into loving you like Christ loved the church. And so, to sum up, that's what God has done in me. It's been a wild 2 months. And I don't yell at the sporting events on the TV anymore. It's really unnerving. And I'm learning how to be happy. And I can say things that in the church have just been catchphrases. I actually understand them and see them in my life now. Things like, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I had no idea that was actually a thing.
Yeah.
It's a thing. The joy of the Lord can be your strength. Things like, I have a peace that passes understanding. Also a thing. That's where I'm at. And I'm excited. Can I just say how excited I am to be part of a church where God is so obviously moving?
Amen. Amen.
And I am thrilled and excited. The reason I lose it up here when I'm singing is because I look out. If I don't look at you, I'm fine. But when I look out and I see God moving and touching my family, my church, I get filled up with so much gratitude that it just leaks out all over everything. We were walking in the grocery store the other day, and I looked at Emma and I said, this is great. Everybody's so happy today. Everybody's smiling and they're friendly. And Emma said, it's just you. Your happiness is now contagious. And I was like, that's awesome. That means that I'm oozing Jesus. And I'm going to get it all over everything.
That's right.
So, I love you guys.
Thank you, JC. Amen. All right, Lord, we're ready for you to do another work in our lives. Whatever you want to do, you're welcome to do it. Whatever you want to say, you're welcome to say it. We receive it. And I just feel the need to say to those who are feeling maybe a little bit of hopelessness, or who hear JC's words and long for something like that to happen to them, that the Lord is coming for you. And he is coming to save and to redeem. And he can make you, turn you into a person, transform you into a person that you didn't know could be alive. In Jesus' name, let it be done. Amen. Amen. That's actually the message of the last few months in us is mainly like, there's a... It starts with, it's like a spark is happening right now, right? There's like a spark happening. And there's people getting hit. And you don't know when it'll be your turn, but you just have hope that it will be your turn, and then suddenly it'll hit you, and you'll turn into a new man or a new woman, right? It will happen. It's actually walking by faith. You know, it's gotten the joke is actually not really all that funny anymore about how I never get to preach what I thought I was supposed to preach. You know, everyone's done laughing about that, except for me and God. It's just an ongoing inside joke between him and me. I had wanted to preach a message that was in this thing that we're doing called Bring the Tea, Write the Letter. I'm trying to wrap that up. I want to put a bow on it and move on. And I thought that's what I was going to do today. I was telling my mom this. I've told Ethan, my brother, my dad. I'm like, every time I try to preach a fancy message with a ton of scripture, really cool stuff that I think is cool, the Lord says, no, we're not doing that. Once again, because it's for you, Nate. And he's like, let's simplify and humble. And he told me to preach a message along the same lines that I preached a few months ago when I preached a message describing to you how your life is not about you. Some of you may remember this. Your life is not about you. And I went in and I told this really long story of my life leading up to a moment in time where constantly going through my mind, I was thinking maybe this whole thing is not for me. I didn't know what it was for, but maybe this whole thing's not for me. All the things that God was doing in my life wasn't for me until the very end whenever I sat at a breakfast meeting with my dad and I said, Dad, I'm going into ministry. I'm leaving my career. What do you think I should do? You remember that? And he said, for the last 10 years, the Lord has put something on my heart to do, which would be to go help whenever I can other small church pastors who nobody ever comes to help. Do you guys realize that? Like, hey, the big churches, they guest speakers left and right, everybody wants to come speak. Who wants to go speak in front of like a church of 30 people in central Kansas? No one ever comes. The pastor's just out on an island all by himself, preaching every Sunday, never a break. And the Lord's put compassion in my dad's heart to go do that, but he couldn't do it unless there was somebody to help him here. Are you guys seeing this? And he, for 10 years, he said he was looking at Nate trying to figure out if what Nate would decide to do with his life. And so on Friday, the Lord told me to preach a message that's going to be very similar to that. And I heard it very clearly. I was like, what about all the cool message? What about the cool thing I was going to preach? He's like, we're not doing that one. We're doing this one. And later that day on Friday, Dad said, we got an update for Sunday. And he called me and he told me that his brother, who pastors a small church in Topeka, through happenstance, his brother, who's a pastor, is not going to be there to pastor the church on Sunday. And he asked Phil if he would come and preach for him. And so that's where he is today, preaching at his brother's small church of 30 people in Topeka. And before I knew that was going to happen, the Lord had already told me to preach the same message. Your life is not about you. As soon as you start to realize this, all of Scripture starts to make sense, your life makes sense, and you actually start to get really free. You get very much free because you open up your hands for the Lord to do what he wants to do. It's a counterintuitive, upside-down world that the Lord can do more with your open hands than you could ever dream of doing in your own power. And this is the reality. So, by the way, my dad also wanted to say he has no intention, nor do we have any intention of Phil not being the pastor of this church. So before anyone starts thinking that, he's like, hey, I wonder, this is actually, I didn't know if I was going to say this. This is actually how the Lord works. If you know my dad, you know he actually does not like change at all. He hates change. So what would he rather be doing today? He'd rather be here. You guys see what what's going on? He would rather be here. But instead, he's obeying the voice of the Lord to go help his brother out. Are you guys seeing this? Usually, obedience to the Lord is going to require you to step out of the comfort that you want. That's usually what it's going to mean. So it's not like he's saying, I don't want to be here. He's like, if it was my decision, I would be here today. But sometimes when we let go, we allow God to start doing things that you don't know where it's going to go. And this is the title of the message today. We'll see how far we get. The title and the only point of today, and this is what you can write down if you want to, You never know what God will do when your life is less about you. You never know what God will do when your life is less about you. This is actually the life of faith. Well, let me tell you a couple of stories really quick, and we'll get into Matthew 6 and Galatians 6 as we go forward. I wanted to preach something really, really cool. Instead, God told me to tell you really, really humbling stories about myself. This is what happened. So earlier this summer, and I'm going through this again, but remember, you never know what God will do when your life is less about you. You don't know what he's going to do in you. You don't know what he's going to do in the people around you. But when you only focus on what all the things that are on your plate, you actually miss out on the things of God almost every time. But essentially what I'm going to go with this is, earlier this summer, some of you guys may know this, my brother calls me, Ethan calls me, and he says, Nate, you never believe this. And this is going to sound crazy. He says, "And there is a pizza festival happening in New York City. We got to go." And there's like, he's saying like there's 30 pizza places. They're setting up huts in a field. They're cooking. You can get as much pizza as you want. I was like, shh. You had me at Pizza Fest. Amen. Definitely into that. And so this was all happening. So we were going to do this really stupid thing of flying out to New York City just to eat a whole bunch of pizza. We're like, okay, I don't know. Anyway, don't judge me too hard. And so it was right around that time the Lord was starting to change my life. He was starting to dramatically change my life. I knew that I was going to get called into ministry. I also knew that I was going to leave my career. And I knew that the timing of it was going to be at the end of August, early September. And I'm like, okay, so we're going to go in September. That's when the Pizza Fest is. And we're like, we got to make it to this Pizza Fest. So, and I was like, okay, well, I won't have a job. So I guess I'll go. Like, how often am I going to find? I'm leaving my career, and you know I'm going to be in this in between season. So like, I'll have time to go do something really dumb with my brother and go to New York City and eat pizza. And we ate about, I want to say, 24 slices in about 2 hours. So yeah, wasn't regular for a week, but. Anyway, that has nothing to do with the story, actually. Nothing to do with where I'm going. What I'm trying to get up to is, it sounded like maybe like a good idea at the time, but as the day approached, to be honest with you, the trip started to feel more and more like vanity. Do you guys see what it felt? Because it was. It was kind of. You know, I mean, I'm not saying you can't have any fun in life. I'm just saying it was kind of vanity. And on top of that, the Lord's like, I'm going into ministry, and the Lord started doing some things here at this church in August. And early September, you know, people are getting baptized. The Holy Spirit's getting poured out. There's a lot of cool things happening. And I'm like, I'm going to miss a Sunday to go eat 30 slices of pizza in 2 hours. And so, yes, you know, every day of the week and twice on Sunday type of, you know. And so I ended up thinking like, I don't know if I want to go. On top of this, there was a pastor's conference in Orlando, Florida, with some speakers that I really wanted to hear, and I didn't really want to do both in the same month. I didn't want to leave my family for both if I didn't have to, and I was like, this you know God does a work in you. Instead of going to a fun trip with your brother to New York City, you want to go to a pastor's conference. And it's actually what I wanted to do, was go to the pastor's conference instead. Are you guys with me? And so I was really getting torn up about it, and towards the tail end, like right when the decision time to go to this New York City event, which was early September. It was supposed to be Ethan and I's little birthday present, because we're twins, by the way. So we each share a birthday September 7th, and this was going to be like our birthday present. It was to go do this dumb thing. And the whole point of this is what I said was to the Lord. I was like, Lord, I didn't get a clear, like, if you didn't want me to go, I definitely won't go. And by this point, you know, words actually mean a lot to me. Like, you guys definitely know if I say, Lord, if you don't want me to go, I won't go. You definitely know me to be telling the truth, because I'll do anything he wants at this point. Like, you say jump, I say how high. Like, I'm in this. And so at the very end, the whole point of me saying all this was to say, Lord, it seems like vanity to me. I can't even tell if I should. But if I go, would you redeem it if I go? Would you go with me and have it be meaningful to somebody and do something in somebody's life while I'm gone? Redeem this, Lord. And so I went. I spent a lot of time with my brother. We actually had an amazing time, as you would expect with two young twin boys having fun in New York City, eating our weight in pizza. We had a total blast, but I spent a lot of time with Ethan. Anybody around me, if you're around me for any period of time now, you're going to hear a lot about the Lord. I'm not trying to. I can't help it. I'm alive from the dead. Like, I'm just going to tell you, because I'm going to talk to you about what's going on in me. So, of course, Ethan, I spent a lot of time talking about that, and the Lord had been doing some things in Ethan, and, you know, I had told him at the time that I'm going to go to this pastor's conference in a couple of weeks, because I decided I would do both. And what was interesting is one more thing that makes the story even make any sense at all was that if you knew me, you also know I love to be alone. I love to be alone. I would prefer to preach this message with nobody here. In fact, I do that for fun. It's what I do now. They're like, Nate, what do you do all day? Is I preach messages to nobody in my head. I don't know. I'm really weird at that at this point. But anyway, so what I'm trying to say is I was telling Ethan about this pastor conference. I was personally really looking forward to going alone. I know that sounds weird to some people, but I love it. Any other people love to be alone in here? Knowing this church, everybody should raise their hand, to be honest with you. We're a bunch of church mice. We like to be by ourselves. It is what it is. So I really wanted to go alone. I was really looking forward to spending some time with the Lord alone. And, of course, I didn't say that necessarily. But we get back from this pizza trip, and it was great. And I was able to talk to my brother, and we built a relationship. And the Lord's working on him. He's working on me. It was a really great time. And Ashley gets this text from Ethan's wife, Bethany. And it says, Ethan's really thinking about going with Nate to that pastor's conference. I was like, no. My alone time. I just went to New York with him. Can I? I didn't want to go. I didn't want him to go. I wanted to go by myself. And then the Holy Spirit showed up. And he says, Nate, I thought you prayed to ask me to redeem the time. What if the whole point of you going was for Ethan? And you start to think about your life differently. You start to realize that you're situated in certain things, not for yourself. You start to see this going before you. So you ask the Lord, redeem this time. And then I get mad when things don't happen the way I want them to happen. He's like, wait. You offered. And he's waiting for an invitation. This is the thing about God. He is waiting for invitations from you. But in order to follow through with when you invite him, you actually have to be willing to do things maybe that you don't want to do. This is actually the whole point of bring the tea, write the letter, the whole message. You have to be willing to be inconvenienced to actually get yourself in the will of God. So, and this story is going to keep getting better and better, just by the way. This is going to keep getting better and better, and we'll see how far we get today. We got time. So Ethan then texts me and says that he's going to come. And I at that time, the Lord already worked in my heart. I was looking forward to it. But then Ethan says, well, did you invite Dad to come? Gosh darn. I was going by myself, and I didn't say that. And I was like, no. But at this point, I was actually, like, very aware that I was being corrected by the Lord at this point. Just very, like, essentially, there was humility that, like, oh, I had made a mistake. And it wasn't like I'm guilty or ashamed. I'm just like, oh, yeah, that whole thing of me doing it for me, that was not what I wanted you to do. That would be the message from the Lord. Are you guys with me like that? Like, at this point, I'm starting to be corrected, and I'm starting to see differently. And because Ethan was very much right. Ethan actually said these words to me. He said, Nate, like, what would Dad in the entire universe, what would he want more than to go to a pastor's conference with his twin boys? And I'm like, yeah, that's 100% true. How selfish of me. Are you guys starting to see this? How selfish of me. Where was my mind at? On me, what I wanted, right? And he's 100% right. So I invite my dad, he's coming. And then somebody, I can't remember, says, did anyone think about inviting Jesse? I'm like, And so we invite Jesse to come. He couldn't come, though, which was a bummer. It would have been really fun. You missed out on a whole bunch, Jesse.
Next year.
Yeah, next year. So we invite Jesse. He couldn't come anyway. I can't remember even who brought that up, but I'm like, okay, the Lord's definitely purging some things in me, the selfishness. It's definitely what he can't use selfish people. This is the thing. Everyone says, well, I would like God to speak to me. It's very hard to have him speak to you when all you want him to do is tell you about things for you to do that you want to do. Like, it doesn't work like that. Like, we'll say, well, I just never hear from the Lord. And he's like, well, it's probably because you're, can I be mean? It's probably because you're too selfish. Ow. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just saying that this is true. This is what the Lord's been, I'm not trying to preach at you. I'm saying this was the big revelation of my selfishness was in me. He's like, hey, if you say you want to hear from me and you're willing to do what I say, we have to deal with your desperate desire to do only things you want to do. We have to deal with that before you'll start doing the things I ask you to do. Everyone says, well, if the Lord would speak to me, I would do it. And he's probably sitting here saying, I already have tried. It just happened to be I told you to do things you didn't want to do, and you assumed that was like the devil. Hey, the Lord wouldn't tell me to do that. He knows I don't like that. It's like, the devil's the one who tells me to do things I don't want to do. It's like, actually, it's the opposite. He's the one who says, live for yourself. And the Lord is the one who comes in and he starts speaking to you about things to do that are not for yourself. So you're getting the voices confused. Anyway, so here we go. We're going to go to this pastor's conference. I have a change of heart. I'm excited to go, not by myself, but that's okay. And we show up on Thursday, the conference was supposed to be Thursday and Friday all day, so we're going to fly out Wednesday night and fly back Saturday morning. Wednesday night, we're at the airport. We're literally about to board the plane. The plane is boarding. In fact, I think my dad's on the plane. He paid for some special status. We're flying Spirit Airlines. Have you guys flown Spirit Airlines? Big mistake. No, I'm just kidding. Actually, we actually liked it. We liked it totally fine. But Ethan and I chose the cheapest possible tickets you can get. They were like $80. It was like a pain for the Greyhound to take you to Orlando. And my dad, he paid a little extra to choose his seat. Oh, he's like tall hog in the trough. So he's already on the plane. He boarded early. And Ethan and I, we get this email from the conference that says, due to the hurricane that's hitting tomorrow, we're canceling Thursday's event. And we're going to try to do it all on Friday. We're going to start early. We're going to stay late. We're going to try to get the whole conference done on Friday. So Ethan and I are like, should we even fly out today? We just didn't know. Like, should we just head back and fly out tomorrow? Whatever it was. We decided to go ahead and fly out, but we were kind of upset. First off, we were just like, who cares about the hurricane? Yeah. Have the conference. You know, it's just like, we're going to all be inside anyway. You know, it's like we're kind of griping about it. And it wasn't even really supposed to hit Orlando. This one wasn't the big Florida one anyway. This was, if you guys remember, there was two hurricanes that happened at the end of September, October. The big one happened up in the Carolinas. That's really where it got hit. But that's the one that was also brushing up against Florida on its way up through Georgia and Carolina. Anyway, all that to say, so we're there on Thursday, and we have, like, nothing to do. The conference is canceled. We're sitting here, and we're like, well, what should we do today? And we kind of sat around. We're like, what should we do today? And I was like, well, when in Rome, like, go to Disney World. Obviously, that's what we got to do today, right? I mean, how often are we going to, you know? And they were like, well, should we go? The hurricane's coming. You know, it's windy. And so all this to say, this is the moral of the story we're getting to. We go to Disney World, three adult men. We go to Disney World by ourselves and had the greatest time that you could imagine. There's like nobody there. It's in a hurricane. It's empty. It's mostly empty. There's a hurricane happening. It's like 40 mile per hour winds the whole time we're at Disney World. And we got the park hopper pass, and we're jumping from park to park. We're riding all the best rides. You know, I bowed before Kylo Ren. It was it was pretty fun. What I'm trying to bring up, this is, I know it's a simple little stupid story. The truth is, you never know what God will do when your life is less about you. You don't know. You don't know. When you're willing to lay down what you want and bless somebody else, you don't know when he will take you to Disney World. Both literal and figuratively. And I really felt like he wanted me to preach this. You don't know. If I had chosen to be selfish, I would have sat in the hotel room by myself during a hurricane. Instead, Ethan and Dad and me were like, looking back, like, this was like a memory that we'll always have. And then I also started to learn one more thing, I want to make this point. I actually wrote it down. Look at this. It's not very many, but, you know, it's half a page. This is one thing I really wanted to say. We all have a tendency to believe that when I sacrifice what I want, I will be unhappy. That is not true. The truth is, you are already unhappy because you're seeking only what you want. And so when we get stuck thinking that when I sacrifice what I want, it will make me unhappy, whenever you are in this mode, which we're all in by being humans, we start there. If I give what I want, I will not have what I want, which then will mean I am unhappy. If I could just talk about this, is that essentially that creates a world by you looking at what you don't have and saying those are the reasons you're unhappy. Does that make sense? Whenever that is your motto, you end up saying all the things you don't have and that's why you're unhappy. The truth is you're unhappy because you're not willing to sacrifice. This is the biblical story from Genesis to Revelations. Jesus says, if you love your life, you will lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake, you will gain it. This is very, very real. What does this look like in reality? It means that you will find life to the extent that you're willing to lay down all of your agendas and all of your grasping, all your seeking, and just say, Lord, use me, and then you obey when he speaks. The problem is when he speaks, oftentimes it will be not what you want to do. So to your willing, am I going anywhere? This is all I'm trying to say is you never know what God will do when your life is less about you. You open yourself up to a future where the Lord is actually the one controlling outcomes. But how do you get to there? Willingness to sacrifice what you want. It doesn't work both ways. We end up thinking that, so in other words, what I'm saying is oftentimes we think that if we sacrifice what we want, we'll be unhappy. Here is the truth of and the moral of the entire story, and then we're going to get into some scripture too. We all need to come to believe that God actually knows what will bring you joy and fulfillment better than you do. You are deceiving yourself when you think that you know better than him what will make you happy. You do not. You have lived your whole life seeking things that you think will make you happy, and they keep coming up lacking. So, what does that mean for us? It means that we need to be willing to lay down this idea. Like, I thought more money would make me more happy. I've already told you guys this testimony. And the more I got, the more unhappy I was. I believed a lie. I believed a lie. And this is what I'm trying to say to you. When you're willing to sacrifice, I thought that the trip was not going to be as fun with other people as it would have been by myself. I was wrong. Are you guys with me? I was wrong. I had the best time of my life, but it came on the back. I know this is a simple little thing, but it came on the back of me willing to do something I didn't want to do. And you end up finding that the Lord works this way. It's like, just read the Bible, every story. Every story. God's asking people to do things that they don't want to do. And then he shows up in power and transforms the world on the back of people who don't want to do what they're doing. It's like Gideon didn't want to fight. He wanted to hide in the wine press. And then as he steps out with the Lord, he ends up going to fight this mighty army with 300 guys. You guys, a lot of you will know this story of Gideon, who it's like he didn't want to do any of the things. But he just listened and obeyed, and victory was given. And I'm saying this is the life of faith. There is no other thing Like, the you say, when you live by faith, it means you just trust that the Lord knows more about what you should be doing than you do. Amen. Which me, and so there is going to be a little bit of pain at times, usually at the very, very start. So by the way, usually at the very, very start of your walk with the Lord, or it actually doesn't matter how long you've been following the Lord, usually at the very, very start of you deciding to lay your life down for him to be able to use you, it kind of hurts a little bit because you're like so used to living for yourself. We all are. There's no judgment here. But as you start to walk in, you realize you just never know when you're going to end up at Disney World with your twin brother and your dad. And you guys didn't even know you had a twin brother. And here you are at Disney World, and there he is, and you guys are having the time of your life. But it's 100% true, is your life is always better when it's in God's hands and not your own. This sounds like a churchy thing to say. The reason why it's not a churchy thing to say is because it starts with saying it, but to actually transfer control of your life, it will always involve willingness to sacrifice. It's so easy to say, I want God to transfer. I believe that God, if I wasn't in control, God would do a better job with it. We can say all these words and not be willing to sacrifice anything about that we're holding on to, and then wonder why God's not in control of our lives. It's like, it doesn't make sense. Are you guys following me with that? You giving God control of your life is an action that you take. It's not a belief system that you put in your mind. It's what you do. You do it actively by how you walk. So I want to read from Matthew. We're going to put up, and look, we have notes today. You don't even have to bring your own Bibles unless you wanted to. Thanks, Teresa. We're going to read from Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 today. A very popular passage that Jesus preached. Matthew 6, 25 is, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life. You're like, we read that and we're like, great, Jesus. I don't worry about my life because I like to worry about my life. You guys following me? Like, I don't like to worry about my life, but here I am worried about it. It's a hard command to follow because you're like, I wish I wasn't, and I am. So do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Remember that. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? After all these things, the Gentiles, which are the unbelievers, seek these things. Your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. So seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. By the way, I read this. Many of you probably have this memorized. I kind of have it memorized. I probably could have read it almost from memory. And why is it that we can know it and not do it? Are you guys follow me with this? There's many of us know a lot of things that are in the Bible, and yet we don't see the fruit of those things in our lives. So we see these, stop being so worried, and I'm like, well, I'm so worried though. Like, I know, I just, it's like, Jesus, why would you tell people to not worry? They already don't want to worry, but they do anyway. And what I'm trying to say, the secret, which we don't have time to go through all of the Beatitudes, but the secret is what Jesus is teaching, is that if you want to answer the question, how do I not worry? You transfer your anxiety to him through sacrifice. This is crazy, but it's so true. You go back and you read all of Scripture, you transfer your anxiety to him through sacrifice. So when it's like the whole point, like even if you go back to the old covenant, old testament with all these sacrificial codes, well, the whole point was to through your willingness to sacrifice, you were actually actively transferring to God your anxiety. And the idea is you can't not worry unless you're willing to stop living for yourself. This is the whole point. As soon as you die to yourself, your anxiety goes away because your life's no longer in your own hands. It's actively transferred to the Lord. And so faith is, he says, "O you of little faith." Faith is actively transferring to God the outcomes in your life by humbly bringing offerings to the Lord. And the offerings that you bring to the Lord are always meant to bless someone else. It can't be about you. You never know what God will do when your life is less about you. Let's go to Galatians chapter 6 really quick too, and then we'll wrap up and be done. Galatians chapter 6. We're going to start in verse 6. It says, "Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." This is the key verse. "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." One thing I wanted to mention, just kind of like this, is I told the whole story at the beginning of me doing things that I don't like to do, and then the Lord showing up and taking me to Disney World. And what I was worried about was that essentially we all believe that every time we sacrifice anything, we get Disney World out of it. I hope you guys didn't think that's where I was going with this. What I am saying, though, is that you never know what God will do. You never know what God will do when your life is less about you. I could have told you the story of me being a teenager, realizing that I had a hole in my heart that needed to be repaired through open heart surgery, and was, as a teenager, maybe not the closest to the Lord, but, you know, as teenagers mostly aren't, but I was believing God more than I'd ever believed God for anything in my life, that he would heal my heart, and he didn't do it, and I had to have open heart surgery. I could have told you that story. Are you guys following me? I'm not here to say that there's always Disney World, but you just never know what God will do when your life is less about you. It opens up a world of opportunity, that things will happen that he orchestrates that you didn't have to orchestrate. That doesn't mean there won't be difficulty. That doesn't mean your life is just going to be simple all the time. But what I am saying is, when it's no longer about you anyway, the difficulties don't seem to impose themselves with such a heavy weight like they once did. Because you're actively transferring through a life where your focus is on blessing other people. When the devil tries to attack you, or things happen to you just because we live in a fallen world, it ends up kind of giving off these vibes where it bounces off you a little bit. Because you weren't in it for yourself anyway. And if you're not in it for yourself anyway, it's okay. My life's in the Lord. I remember I had a fear of death until this summer. I wouldn't have said it because I could have quoted to you all the scriptures about eternal life and I'm not afraid to die. To live is Christ and to die is gain. I could have quoted every scripture to you in the universe, but deep down I knew that I was afraid to die. And I don't even know where I'm going to go with that, but I'm just telling you, I was a little bit afraid to die. I'm honest about it. What I'm saying is, I could quote all the scriptures to you of why I shouldn't have been. It didn't mean anything, because in my heart I knew. I am a little bit afraid to die. When the Lord came in and swiped my life from my own hands, one of the outcomes of that was I was no longer afraid to die, which is why I can do whatever he says. If the worst thing that man can do is kill you, and you're actually not afraid of that, you can literally do whatever the Lord says. If you're still kind of holding on to the things of this world in that way, then everything that happens to you feels like it's ruining your life. Every bad thing is ruining your life. If things don't happen the way I want it to have happen, it's ruining my life. And the Lord's like, you know, if you just became a living sacrifice, you would technically have preemptively ruined your life. Nothing else can ruin your life. You gave it to the Lord. Like, you know, that's why Paul, I was going to tell the same story. I know we're going over and I'll stop, but the whole idea of not, like, the whole point is to live life constantly thinking that as you live less, as your life is less about you, you never know what God will do. Because the same thing is like Paul and Silas are sitting in prison for preaching the gospel. They could have been griping. Instead, they choose to worship. They worship God in prison. You're like, that doesn't look like Disney World. Agreed. They did. They gave their life to the Lord, and they did not end up at Disney World. But they worship God, and their chain and an angel of the Lord comes in. There's an earthquake. Their chains fall off. They leave. And the idea, what I'm trying to bring up is they were not worshiping God in order for their chains to be removed. They just worshiped him for who he was. That's all I'm saying. And you never know what God will do. They weren't even asking God to let him out. They were just worshiping him. You never know what God will do when your life is less about you. Later on, though, they had the same heart of worship and they didn't get set free. They were martyred. Are you guys following me? It's not always Disney World with your twin brother and your dad, if you have one. But sometimes it is. And I'm trying to tell you that your life is way better in the hands of God than it is in your own hands. And we have to start walking. Is this helping anybody? We still got like 3 minutes. What can I get done in 3 minutes? Yeah. You know, in this, I forgot I was preaching from Galatians chapter 6. Let's back up. I'm just kidding. But it is true in Galatians chapter 6. It says, do not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. This is life. Like, you don't get to say, I tried that Nate thing that one time. I was just as miserable after I tried it that one time. God must hate me. Never doing that again. That's not what we're talking about. Nate said that he obeyed God and let his dad and brother come with him on the pastor's trip. And then he got to go to Disney World. I didn't get to go to Disney World. God must like Nate more. It's like, what I'm saying is I could have told all the stories of when I would trust God for things that it didn't happen. That should not dissuade you from the truth that God wants to be involved. You can't look at when he doesn't show up and say he must never want to show up. That's the whole point of scripture, the whole point of bringing JC up here and Alex up here and Josh up here and Nate up here is to say God wants to show up. You don't know when it's going to happen, how it's going to happen. As I even preached this during our worship night, that there was messages that I preached that I wanted to be true of me that were not true of me for 10 years. And now I'm sitting here saying I was totally transformed and set free. And it was like, well, did it happen instantly or did it happen over 10 years? You don't get to decide the timing. Like the whole concept is every time you pray, every time you sacrifice, every time you do any of these things, God does not always show up immediately on purpose because he's wanting you to fortify yourself. It's not a genie thing. It's not that. It's a relationship with God. His number one agenda is not to give you a good life. His number one agenda is to transform you into the image of his son. You do that through faith in difficulty, believing that he will show up. I'll tell one more thing. It reminded me so strongly of the story that we all know of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Where, if you guys, for those of you who don't know the story, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, has a bunch of Jewish prisoners. Their names are Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and many others, but those three are the main people in the story. And he erects this idol that everyone's supposed to worship, this big statue. Everyone's supposed to worship it. And so the music plays, and there's only three guys who are everyone else supposed to bow down. And there's three guys, like, standing up doing this, like, not doing it. And all the Babylonians are very angry at him, and they come in and tell the king, hey, these three guys are not worshiping your statue. And Nebuchadnezzar loves these guys, but he's very angry that they rebelled in this way. And So he comes to them and says, hey, I'm giving you one more chance. You bow next time or else I'm going to throw you into the fire. I'm going to burn you alive if you don't bow. And he says, what God will save you then? And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego say to him, O king, we don't even feel like we need to answer you in this matter. They said, our God is able to save us from your fire. But even if he doesn't, we will not bow. This is the life of the believer. You believe God is coming to rescue, but even if he doesn't, you don't bow to the enemy. You don't bow. You never know what he's going to do when your life is less about you. They did not love their own life unto death. Of course, we know the end of the story. They get thrown into the fire. And Jesus shows up in the fire, keeps them alive, brings them out, and they don't even smell like smoke. And then the entire Babylonian kingdom is required by Nebuchadnezzar to turn to Yahweh, the God of the Jews, because there's no other God that can save like that. And then what's so interesting about that story, these are the cool things I wish I could preach on if the Lord would tell me to stop saying dumb pizza stories that make me look like an idiot. Pizza's better. Amen, brother. But the idea is this. In Daniel, it only even makes full sense if you had read Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel. Because then you actually realize that God's whole intention of the Jewish people was to minister to the Gentiles. And they didn't do it. So God says, if you don't do it freely, I will bring you there. And I will cause my name to shine in front of them, whether you're willing or not. So the goal is just be willing, and then you don't have to be destroyed. I'm just kidding. But there's a truth to this, that he fulfilled his desire with these three men that he had wanted for the entire nation of Israel. The same thing is true of your life. As you lay down your own pride, your own selfishness, oftentimes you allow God to work. You never know what God will do when your life is less about you. You never know. Are you guys with me? All right, thank you guys for the time. Let's pray.